And welcome back to CITR. This is The Stranded Australian Canadian Music Show. And a very special show today. I actually have a spoken word guest. He is a local lyricist, poet and author named Jeffrey Armstrong. I'll be featuring a little bit of his music, some lyrics that he's written with a gentleman, a pianist from the USA. But also, we're really here to talk about his upcoming book launch on the 29th of June, a book he's written about Avatar. So he'll be speaking a little bit about his knowledge base of the East Indian yogi tradition. And to introduce, I thought I'd play some Australian Aboriginal music. India being the largest organised Indigenous culture in the world. So I'd like to just proceed with some fantastic music. The Warumpi Band from Australia. I've played their song before, Blackfella, Whitefella. This is My Island Home, another classic. That's been covered to much fanfare by a woman called Christine Arnoux, but this is the original. It's by the Warumpi Band, My Island Home. Thanks for listening. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show.
Tell my country, stranger in my land. Today to somewhere, no account, tomorrow something grand. I doubt if you'd agree with me, or if you'd understand. Till that day, for guys like me, I'm a stranger in my land. Well, forgive me if it seems as though, but I am not mistaken. 'Cause I'm the one who you forgot after my land was taken. In early years we were put down, cast aside as vermin. Women, men and kids shot down, then paid by Bible sermon. Well, don't try to understand me now. I've seen the sights that pain you. Has it really changed for me since round up in Tasmania? I'm a stranger in my country, stranger in my land. Today to somewhere, no account, tomorrow something grand. I doubt if you'd agree with me, or if you'd understand. Guys like me, I'm a stranger in my land. Well, they say that black is beautiful. I've heard it far and wide, man. Are you sincere in what you say? If not, please step aside then. This land is like a store-bought pie, and lots of people come, all to get themselves a slice, and I can't get a crumb. Well, the black Australian has his pride, his culture and his dream time. Is he to lose all this as well? I wonder in the meantime. Stranger in my country, stranger in my land. Today to somewhere, no account, tomorrow something grand. I doubt if you'd agree with me, if you'd understand. Till that day, for guys like me, I'm a stranger in my land. I'm a stranger in my land.
Saturday night.
Yeah, welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. And this is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. I'm your host, Matthew. And every week you tune in to hear great independent music from the other side of the world and some Canadian tunes. Today is a very special day. We're joined in the studio by a local author, lyricist and poet named Jeffrey Armstrong. Jeffrey has a book launch coming up on the 29th of June for a groundbreaking book that he has written called Spiritual Teachers of the Avatar. No doubt many listeners have seen the movie Avatar, and Jeffrey is actually a specialist in studying what Avatar actually means. It's a Sanskrit word from India, and Jeffrey's written a great book about everything, the background of the Avatar concept. Jeffrey, hello.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Very good. Thanks so much for coming in, Jeffrey.
My pleasure. Namaste.
Namaste. This is a very special day. Jeffrey, we're going to have a little chat. Actually, I'm just going to back announce those songs first of all. I did play three First Nations songs from Australia, some Indigenous musicians. The first was the Wurrumpi Band, My Island Home. The second was a fascinating man called Vic Sims. And finally, the song Mabo by Yothu Yindi. And Mabo is, Eddie Mabo was a great First Nations activist, and his work led to the core legal case of Mabo that gave land title to First Nations people. So, Jeffrey, I just wanted to ask you about your background, your scholarship in the yogic tradition, and how that relates to an Indigenous worldview.
Well, Matt, sometimes I call myself a spiritual archaeologist because back in the 60s, for those of us who began to learn about the knowledge of Indigenous cultures from around the world, there were two things that happened. First, we started getting into the vibration of their teaching and having a different experience. It changed. It's like software with your computer. You can only do so much with your computer unless you have great software. So in the 60s, sound, music, and the knowledge and vibrations coming in from Indigenous cultures started to affect everyone and initiate us into a different way of experiencing. Along with that, we found a worldview that was much older than the one we've been taught about, that goes back anywhere between 50,000 or 60,000 years that these Indigenous cultures have been representing. So it turns out that the flag bearer for all the Indigenous cultures, the one that's the most intact, got the largest library of knowledge, is India.
Hmm. And you've been a specialist in scholarship and authorship on works about this yogic tradition.
Yeah, and also practicing it, because in India, you're not just a scholar looking at it in a detached way, standing separate from it. That's the Western scholarship. But in the Indigenous cultures, you have to be as much a shaman as a scholar. You have to be as much a practitioner as you are a student. So that means everything you know intellectually, you're supposed to also be experiencing firsthand through your practices and what you do, through the vibrations. And within that, in all the great Indigenous traditions, they were oral, which is what leads us to poetry and song and music, because it was all transmitted by oral practices.
Exactly. And yet eventually the yogis of India actually put all of their knowledge actually into language as well, the Sanskrit language, and Avatar is a Sanskrit word.
That's right. And so, in a way, Avatar represents the ancient traditions of knowledge that, according to India, actually they've been for millions of years. So the first major Avatar, Ram, appeared 1.2 million years ago, and the last historical one, Krishna, appeared 5,000 years ago. So they have a very long historical memory. And the language Sanskrit is a programming language. It's so perfect a language that the messages haven't been distorted over time. And then they're sung and chanted, so they're passed down as vibration as well as with meaning.
And you mentioned before lyrics, of course, and you've been a poet for much of your life and a lyricist. And we're actually going to play some of Jeffrey's work here, some songs that he did he wrote the lyrics for an album by Thomas Barqui. He's from the United States.
Originally from Germany, and he was a classically trained musician, trained as in the European classical style. And then he became a pop singer and a pop musician. So Thomas Barqui lives in Los Angeles, and he's a music producer for films for a living, and also a pop artist and a singer in his own right.
And so you wrote the lyrics for this, and I've often wondered the difference between lyrics and poetry. You're a dedicated poet. When you sit down to write lyrics for a musician, do you have a different angle? I'm sure your inspiration draws from your knowledge of the yogic understanding. Do you have a different approach when you're writing lyrics specifically?
Well, my first degree was also in literature and poetry. So I was trained as well as inclined to be a poet. So the thing between poetry and lyrics is very simple. In a poem, you're the whole band plus you're the singer. So the rhythm, the cadence, the assonance, the alliteration, the magic between the words, the density and plays on words, and the rhythm all contribute to the music of the poem. And then the poet's voice is the singer, and what's been done within the language and vibrations is the whole band playing in the background.
Yep.
With lyrics, you strip some of that out, make the words a little more repetitive or repeatable, a little simpler and less dense, build the message in, and then let the musician and the band,
yeah,
the lead singer in the band, play the rest of the effects in the background along with.
Okay.
And in between, there's something just about in between, which has got a lot going on in the poetry and then a lot going on in the music, and they work together. That's what this album represents.
Okay.
Fair amount of poetry, but still light enough that it can be lyric, and that you can still hear the words. And you'll notice that in this style, unlike a lot of contemporary music, the words are legible. You can actually hear what's being said.
Exactly. And a lot of the music I play on my show has a lot of passion and sonic brilliance. Sometimes, admittedly, lyrics are hard to pick out, and it's an issue with rock and roll.
It is. There's a certain sensibility to one kind of music that you should be hearing what they're saying. And then again, there's another kind that says you should figure the words out and then sing along even though you can't understand them.
That's right.
It's a place for both, I guess.
Exactly. And so today is a treat. We're going to play a couple of songs here from the Thomas Barkley album featuring Jeffrey Armstrong as the lyric writer. I'm going to play track 5 here, Unspeakable. So I really encourage listeners to just really groove into this music, and wherever you are, I played this last night and it made me feel good and relaxed. And
both of us are yogis. Thomas Barkley is a yoga practitioner for many years, and myself as well. So there's a meditative and deeper quality to this music because it arises from a deep level of perception.
Exactly.
It can take you there as well.
Exactly. So let's hear a little bit of this music from Thomas Barkley and Jeffrey Armstrong, and we'll be back to chat more with local author Jeffrey Armstrong.
Nothing I say comes close.
of me. The footprints of this feeling, a trail that's hard to follow. I have nothing to give up, but I cannot find it.
1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Does anybody know where he's from?
From parts unknown!
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
The Parts Unknown!
Break your fingers!
Yes, the Great Parts Unknown Show coming up, as always, at 1 p.m. on a Monday here. And this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show that's broadcast every week here from 11 till 12. And today I've just played two songs by a local lyricist here, Jeffrey Armstrong, wrote the lyrics for the last two songs. A gentleman named Thomas Sparkey from the United States is a musician there. And Jeffrey is a local author, poet, lyricist, and a teacher of the Vedic knowledge, the philosophy of yoga. So thanks again for coming in, Jeffrey. Those two songs were amazing. You were talking about the different energetic effect that can come through in a song that's made with specific intent in the lyrics.
In the ancient traditions, all the indigenous cultures understood that if you were tuned to a particular realization and vibration, you could, they call it, initiate someone into that. Initiate means literally bring them in. So if you imagine that somebody goes to some place in their consciousness and they're in a particular interesting place, they can open that door and let you into that place through their vibration and through their intentionality. And so this was the way that the elders of ancient cultures taught the younger people how to travel to different places that consciousness can go to.
Hmm.
And they used sound and words and music.
Exactly, and I guess you were right. I mean, in the 60s as well, you were at a time as a young person where music was being used as a form of social change, and you participated in a rock opera too back then.
I did. I was a writer of and traveled with a traveling rock opera that went around the United States for several years. We had a 7-piece rock band, a 500-foot purple tie-dye backdrop, and it was quite a sensation at the time. And we were teaching yoga. We were actually yogis using rock and roll and spiritual vibration all in the same breath, mantras and messages to educate people.
Exactly. And I mean, nobody doubts the incredible energetic effect that live music has on people. And it'll be interesting to see where music takes us in the next 10 years, if we're going to see a return to some, you know, conscious intent music with a social message. We all know that the mainstream often conspires against that, but I can tell you that being at this community radio conference over the weekend, there are some really dedicated people broadcasting great music that's got a good message, and the songs we just heard there, Thomas Sparkey and Jeffrey Armstrong, I can see an energetic effect there that's undeniable.
Yeah, and in the 60s, people also learned that what ancient cultures had known was that some substances were neurotransmitters that speeded up the process of assimilation. So at first they thought that they needed to use those substances to get the effect.
Mm.
Then when yoga came in advanced forms of learning, they found out that there was a downside to substances that wasn't there with the higher understandings, so that you could actually get the same effect with no downside. And that's why all of this migrated from the first level to the second level. The second level is no substances. You create the right pathways in your consciousness by yogic practices.
Hmm.
And then the sound vibration combined with that takes you to very high places and keeps you situated there.
So who knows what would have happened to, say, Jerry Garcia if the Grateful Dead had gone down a path, you know?
Of course, the Beatles did. George Harrison did. And whenever they did, and whenever this happened, the person would stop using substances and just use higher vibrations because they know it's a superior path. It doesn't have a downside.
Of course, yeah. I haven't read a lot about Beatles history, but I wonder the tension between, say, John Lennon and George Harrison, what it was like, because George definitely was a pioneer of that in the group. And
yeah, and they all were looking into it, but George particularly took it on and was a clear example of a musician separating from the lower vibratory path of using drugs to moving up to the higher one of using yogic awareness along with their music.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
He was a big part of that. My Sweet Lord was a big turning point for that.
Okay.
And he made that with some friends of mine, and in London they put that together to put that vibration out so that people understood that you could do it with the vibration rather than having to use substances.
Wow, this is brilliant. Are you aware of much else contemporary music that you know, listeners might be aware of who are on the same sort of trip? I'm sure there's people around.
Yeah, Boy George was one example.
Huh.
Another one was the Eurythmics,
yeah.
The lead singer for the Eurythmics.
Annie Lennox.
And Sting, of course, is a classic example. Annie Lennox was a yogi. Sting, in a big way, which he is unequivocal about. But also, there are many others that you don't hear about who are. Frank Fitzpatrick, who's a music producer in Los Angeles, who's doing quite well known for his work. But it's quite widespread now. In fact, even Madonna did the Gayatri Mantra at one of her shows and in one of her albums.
Huh.
So most of the musicians now are going through this transition because nobody can live a reasonable life using drugs. They have too big a downside.
Yeah.
And everybody under the pressure of performance starts doing that, and then they go, oh, this is going to ruin my life. So that's why yoga is such a superior path, because it teaches you to be independent, but it teaches you how to have that higher vibration all the time.
Yeah.
And then it flows into your music, flows into the way you live your life.
I mean, even Ozzy Osbourne these days has got all his personal training, and he's, you know...
It's the only way to survive a high-pressure environment once you get to that point. And that's where the teachings of the avatars and where the avatar film and all of that comes in.
I'm just going to... we'll be back right after this to chat, actually, about Jeffrey's book, Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. We'll be back very soon.
This is Dylan Osick from Slingshot, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC.
I just
see
you keep saying yoga.
Getting them rooted.
Jeffrey, we are here actually also to talk about your book. Thanks so much for the background there about the influence of yoga into music, the message of yoga, and the higher vibrations that can bring under the sound waves. And you do have a book launch up for something quite specific coming up on the June 29th. The book is Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. Listeners would no doubt have either heard the music or the movie or seen it themselves. Can you give us a summary of really what you're talking about in the book?
Right. Well, first of all, the word avatar is a very ancient word that has a lot of different meanings. So when the film came out, James Cameron admittedly took many pieces of wisdom from different indigenous cultures. And that's because he was trying to honor them and show us that we've left our roots behind. And even though science has made amazing advances and developments, you can see it's also brought us to the edge of some really dramatic problems. So just as in the movie, the theme is there are certain missing pieces. You notice that the female scientist, Grace Augustine, a reference to the Catholic Saint Augustine, who didn't yet know that nature was alive and conscious, was treating nature unconsciously, like science in general is doing, as if it was not conscious, not an entity. She eventually sees the All-Mother, and her famous line in the film is, Jake, I see her, just as she was transiting from her body, she says, Jake, I see her, and she's real. So you can see that Cameron set us up to realize something that all the indigenous cultures all talked about and understood. So this is where yoga also right now is seen mostly in our culture as bodily postures and things you do physically. But in fact, that's just the beginning of a process that leads us to deeper states of awareness. So the word avatar is kind of an overall word that indicates the descent of the divine to this world to teach a whole myriad of teachings that tell us how to be the best self we can be.
Exactly, and this is a book that it's a lot of your life work, I guess, has been summarized into this book. It's an accessible to people, and they can actually attend the June 29th book launch as well. And it's going to be at Banyan Books.
At the Unity Church, actually.
Oh, the Unity Church, that's
right. One of the sponsors is Banyan Books, but it's going to be at the Unity Church in Oak and 41st.
Oak and 41st. Mm-hmm. We will come back and talk a bit more about the book, but a little bit more music here from Australia. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. We're talking to Jeffrey Armstrong, a local lyricist, author, and poet. And we'll be right back to talk a little bit more about his incredible book that's just about to be relaunched.
Here tonight, son?
I mean, whatever happens, your toes are still tapping.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's hottest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
We like Biltmore, yeah, we like Biltmore.
Check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
And if you're a rock star, you're famous, and you rock out.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun, though, isn't it?
When the moon is full and hangs high in the night sky, the little people that live in the bush, Tuckonies, custodians of everything that lives and grows there, come together to celebrate and dance under the full moon.
Thank you.
Okay. We are back here on CITR 101.9 FM, Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, and that was a real treat. That artist of the last two songs was a gentleman named Mark Atkins, and he is one of the most renowned didgeridoo players in Australia. He's played internationally with the likes of Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, Peter Gabriel, Philip Glass, and Ravi Shankar. Jeffrey, what can you tell me about Ravi Shankar?
Actually, the first time I saw Ravi Shankar, I studied sitar for 3 years, but before that, I heard him in Detroit in 1967. And he got up on the stage, full house, packed room, and he started tuning his sitar. And everyone applauded. He went, "Thank you so very much. If you like the tuning that much, I am sure you will love the music."
Oh, incredible.
So he affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
And talk of vibration. Mm. Putting out that vibration that comes from the knowledge behind yoga.
Mm.
So if you see yoga, it's just steadying your body and getting your energy right and getting your mind steady, because your mind is the CD player. So that's what the ancients realized. Before we had technology, if you wanted to hold a vibration, you had to hold your mind steady. So that's what yoga teaches. But then it's the DVDs and CDs that you put in that play the music. So those vibrations that we hear these musicians hearing and then playing for us, the question is, how do you stay there all the time?
Exactly. And I mean, this conversation I'm having and music I've listened to recently is allowing me to be more discerning now with my listening, and there's music for different places and times, and you can really alter your mood and sense of well-being with music on a certain vibration.
And the same with knowledge. So this book, The Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar, contains various key pieces of knowledge that allow you to steady your mind, to tune your mind, to align with nature, to connect with the divine beings in nature, to learn to actualize the potential inside of you, to stay peaceful and joyful all the time, to see others with respect, to care for the good of all. So there's a lot of different things that come along with this that are a way of living and being on the planet. It doesn't destroy it, but it's like a campus that we should leave for the next generation.
Exactly. And we are talking here with Jeffrey Armstrong, a local poet, lyricist, author, and he's talking about his book, Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar, which is going to be released. It's going to have a worldwide release. This is actually released by Simon & Schuster, the world's largest book company, who put out The Secret. Everyone's heard of The Secret. Many have read it. 5 million copies of that book sold, and Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar has come a few years. I guess it's been... It's basically the next book, following from The Secret, and it's got a worldwide release and in three different languages as well. We have
so far in German, Italian, and Russian, with Chinese, Japanese, French, Spanish, and several other languages bidding for it right now. So we're seeing a worldwide release of it on the 29th.
On the 29th, and Ground Zero is here in Vancouver, the 29th of June. Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar by Jeffrey Armstrong, Ancient Wisdom for a New World. And it's going to be released at the Unity Church, 5840 Oak Street, here in Vancouver, and sponsored by local book publishers, book company Banyan Books. What can you tell me about the night, Jeffrey? It's going to be quite an event.
Yeah, we're going to have... Local film director Pete McCormick is going to be the master of ceremonies, and Pete's most recently famous, he's a feature film director, but he recently did Facing Ali, which just won 4 Leos, including Best Picture, Best Director, at the Leo Awards that were just held. And Pete's going to MC. He's also a musician and songwriter and lyricist and poet, novelist, and screenplay writer. Then also Cynthia Black's going to be there from Beyond Words, and she's the publisher of Beyond Words Atria, which is the sub-publisher of Simon & Schuster that's putting the book out.
Right.
So she's going to be there and give a talk as well. And then, of course, with every ticket to the event, they're going to get a copy of the book as well. So this is an unusual kind of book launch, because in this case, you don't pay to see the event and then go buy a book. Your ticket to the launch event, also you take a book home, a signed book home with you.
This definitely added bonus to go. This book is going to be quite remarkable. Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar by Jeffrey Armstrong. He's a local teacher, author, poet. And he specializes in the philosophy of yoga. And Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar is a summation of great yogic knowledge and written in a very practical way as well. Because that's really, you're telling us that we can live in a more conscious way.
Yes, and just as the film Avatar reached so many people and touched them in a place that they know they want to be touched. So this book will simply continue that process by giving out the secrets that are behind what they hinted at in the film. They hinted at the secrets from these various indigenous cultures, including India.
Mm-hmm.
So I've put a deeper amount of that knowledge and teaching, but an accessible amount in the book, so that just as the film was accessible, so the book is accessible, but it now makes more of this ancient knowledge at everyone's fingertips.
Exactly. So that's Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar book launch June 29th at Unity Church. We are going to play, just after this, a song by Pete McCormack, who is going to be playing, he's emceeing the event. We played one of his songs last week, and I'm going to be playing one more right after this.
Calgary Folk Music Festival, a dreamlike balance of urban and bucolic, friendly and far out, super fly and earthy. Pioneering musical godfathers and grandmothers, plus rebels, romantics, and revolutionaries of the current decade. 22nd to 25th at Prince's Island Park. Let the music take you around the world. The Calgary Folk Music Festival. Visit CalgaryFolkFest.com.
To hear when angels are singing in my mind, and everywhere I look, I find I'm ever blessed, ever blessed, ever blessed, ever blessed. Yes, I am. Ever blessed, ever blessed, ever blessed. In your morning kiss I'm found. On the saddest day I am loved. In your tenderness I can say, take my heart away and leave me yours. I'm ever blessed. How can I say no to this when I'm flying off the edge of bliss and your breath is blowing through my fear? And everywhere I look, it's clear, it's clear. Ever blessed, ever blessed, ever blessed. Yes, I am. Ever blessed, ever blessed, ever blessed. In your morning kiss I am found. on the saddest day I am loved. In your tenderness I can say, take my heart away and leave me yours. I'm ever blessed. Even Arjuna felt shaken. Even Jesus felt forsaken. Jai Purusha, Jai Guru, Jai my sweet Lord, yeah. I sing Jai Purusha, Jai Guru, Jai my sweet Lord. Oh, even Arjuna felt shaken. Even Jesus felt forsaken. Jai Purusha, Jai Deva, Jai my sweet Lord. I sing Jai Purusha, Jai Guru, Jai my sweet Lord, yeah. Take my heart away and leave me yours. I'm ever blessed.
And you're listening to CRTR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Jeffrey, it's been fantastic having you. The person we just played there was Pete McCormack, a fantastic local musician, a filmmaker, and he's going to be emceeing the event at Unity Hall on the 29th of June, and we're talking about the book launch of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar by Jeffrey Armstrong. And don't forget, you can get a free copy of the book with your purchase of the ticket at Unity Church, 5840 Oak Street, Vancouver, on the 29th of June. So, spiritual teachings of the avatar.com for more information. So Jeffrey, it's been a real pleasure having you. This has been a great chat we've had. And of course you are a poet. That's your first and foremost, I guess that was your first,
That was my beginning years ago at 13 years old.
And, you've been writing ever since, and, we're going to leave with a poem.
All right. Well, you know, one of the biggest teachings of the avatars is not to be afraid. And fear is, in many ways, our worst enemy. And one of the biggest things that people are afraid of is death. So this one's called Death is Our Best Friend. It is possible that death is our best friend, a giant come to play and not the end. It is possible that death is a transit on a train, a moment of confusion and then no pain. It could be death is just our next promotion, jumping from the puddle to an ocean. It may be that death is highly overrated, that life continues even more integrated. It might be fear itself instead of death that is the very nature of each breath. Perhaps life itself is the source of fear, and death is going home to all that's dear. Imagine we've had it backwards all this time, that life is a valley and death a mountain climb. What if life is a river and death is the shore, where friends wait to play with us once more? It could be that life is a class and death the exam, and the subject is finally knowing who I am. Or perhaps life is a chess game we just won, and death is the sign the next one has begun. Death could be a telegram from bliss, a cosmic orgasm, or intergalactic kiss. It may be that death is the prelude to a dance where all the stars in the sky are the audience. Then what if death is God's dinner bell, the call to a feast where everyone eats like hell, and heaven is a party that never quits where everyone gets the prince and the slipper fits? Perhaps the part of death that we resist is doubting that we are on the party list. It might be we have forgotten that we are love, just like that which waits for us above. It wouldn't surprise me that we have become confused, thinking that death is life being abused. Perhaps we forgot that death is married to life, and that we are their children, and they are husband and wife.
Thanks so much, Jeffrey. We'll end there with a fantastic poem there from Jeffrey Armstrong, Kavindra Rishi, author of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. June 29th is the book launch at Unity Church. Thanks so much, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Matt. We'll look forward to seeing all of you in Vancouver at the book launch, and thanks for everything.
No problem. And this is CITR here in Vancouver. We have a fantastic Chris-orific coming up at 1 with the Parts Unknown show, and right now is Alternative News, Alternative Radio.
This is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamian. This edition of AR features Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Beyond Vietnam. Every year, almost like clockwork around his birthday, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream gets airplay. The charismatic orator is frozen on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in August 1963. No doubt it was a great and historic presentation, profoundly moving and full of dazzling poetry and inspiring images. But he was to give another very significant speech that is often obscured. That was to come on April 4, 1967, in Riverside Church in New York. There, King demonstrated his deep understanding of how the system works. He moved beyond a simple race analysis to include class and foreign policy issues. He forcefully denounced the war in Vietnam. He called the United States the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. And he deplored the giant triplets of racism, extreme materialism, and militarism. Exactly 1 year later, Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis, where he had gone in solidarity with striking sanitation workers. Dr. King's New York talk resonates today. Just insert Afghanistan or Iraq every time he says Vietnam, and you'll see what I mean. America bombs Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen. Its military bases straddle the globe, while urgent domestic needs go underfunded or ignored. Yes, Obama was elected president, and yes, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, but the pattern of war and violence continues. And now, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Beyond Vietnam, Riverside Church, New York, April 4th, 1967.
I come to this magnificent house of worship tonight because my conscience leaves me no other choice. I join you in this meeting because I'm in deepest agreement with the aims and work of the organization which has brought us together, clergy and laymen concerned about Vietnam. The recent statements of your executive committee are the sentiments of my own heart, and I found myself in full accord when I read its opening line. A time comes when silence is betrayal. That time has come for us in relation to Vietnam. The truth of these words is beyond doubt, but the mission to which they call us is a most difficult one. Even